Marvin Chauncey Ross was a curator at the Walters Art Museum here in Baltimore. He did the job from 1934 to 1952, but with a rather important interruption during the middle of his tenure, World War II. Ross served for several months in the battles of the South Pacific. He was then tapped by General Eisenhower for a different kind of assignment. He was named Deputy Advisor on Monuments, Fine Art, and Archives. Joining me this week to talk about the achievements of Monuments Man Marvin Chauncey Ross is a woman who's studied his career closely, Walters Archives Assistant Melissa Wertheimer. Melissa, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
Also joining us for the conversation is Michael Kurtz. He's currently a visiting professor at the University of Maryland College of Information Studies. He's also the author of America and the Return of Nazi Contraband, The Recovery of Europe's Cultural Treasures. Michael Kurtz, welcome to you too.
It's great to be here, Aaron. Thank you.
So, Melissa and Michael, I want to take a moment here at the beginning of our conversation and compare Hollywood to historical reality. George Clooney, Matt Damon, and the rest of the Hollywood Monuments Men would have us believe that things went something like this. This is a clip from the movie trailer, and I'll be interested to hear your thoughts afterwards.
Time to put a team together and do our best to protect buildings, bridges, and art before the Nazis destroy everything.
How many men?
Six.
Jesus.
Well, with you at seven.
That's much better.
So you want to go into a war zone with some architects and artists and tell our boys what they can and cannot blow up.
That's right.
Aren't we a little old for that?
Yes.
We go through basic and then we wait for orders.
Basic?
A little help.
Basic training. Oh boy.
If you destroy an entire generation of people's culture, it's as if they never existed.
We got company.
Frank, we gotta go!
That's what Hitler wants. And it's the one thing we can't allow.
So we get to shoot some Nazis?
An excerpt there from the new Hollywood World War II movie, Monuments Men. And let me ask Melissa and Michael, is that how things really went down? Were these art historians and architects really having shootouts with Nazis?
Well, I don't know if they were actually having shootouts, but several of them did lose their lives, so they were on the front lines, no question about it. It was a very dangerous assignment, and I think the movie portrays it correctly that their job was to protect culture as best they could.
Melissa Wertheimer, we're going to get to the story of this particular Monuments Man of local interest in just a moment. But first, Michael Kurtz, let me ask you to just put this historical moment into a larger context for us. Say a bit more about who these Monuments Men were, where they came from, and what exactly their mission was.
Prior to the war, these were art historians, these were architects, these were museum directors, people involved with the creation and protection of cultural objects and fine works of art. And as World War II started, there was a lot of concern in the United States, in academia, in the art world, in the government, about what would happen to priceless European treasures when the inevitable conflict started in the invasion of Europe. Also, reports about Nazi looting were widespread. So the Monuments and Fine Arts and Archives unit was put together with the help of the Roberts Commission, which was the organization that was charged by President Roosevelt to deal with protection of cultural treasures and the eventual return of what was stolen. So these were men who were experienced in the field, who were had reputations, and so the Roberts Commission, working with the War Department, was able to help place them in units in the Army to fulfill their role.
And Melissa Wertheimer, Walters Art Museum curator Marvin Chauncey Ross, he was an important part of this team.
Yes, he was.
How and why was Mr. Ross brought on board with the Monuments Men?
Well, in December 1942, Ross enlisted with the Marine Corps Reserves, and from May of 43 to January of 44, he served in the South Pacific. January of 44, he got his orders to go over to London, where he was the deputy advisor for Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives on Eisenhower's administrative staff. During that time, he helped to make sure that the Monuments men in the field, as well as when he was in the field, got the supplies that they needed, that they had the historical background, that they had all of their lists in order to ensure that monuments and pieces of art could not only be protected, but located.
As I understand things, the Monuments Men had a two-part mission. One part of that mission was to work with the Allied forces as they were attacking Nazi-held cities in Europe to make sure that they didn't accidentally do any collateral damage to significant monuments. And part two, then, of this mission came afterwards when the Nazis were retreating to recover these treasure troves of lost artworks.
Oh, absolutely, Aaron. They did have a two-part mission. And as the war went along in 1944 into 1945, and the Allied troops were advancing, enormous amounts of looted material were found. Archives, artworks, sculpture, libraries, an enormous, you know, dislocation of the cultural heritage of Europe was discovered as the Allies moved forward. And as chance would have it, much of what the Nazis stole was actually hidden in various places in what became the U.S. zone of occupation in Germany. So it became the responsibility of the military to not only protect these works of art that they found, but to ensure they were returned to the proper country of origin.
Thus began a real treasure hunt, in a sense, where all of these great art historians had an opportunity to discover these huge caches of works of art and be flipping through seemingly relatively insignificant works and suddenly come upon a Rembrandt or a Michelangelo. I mean, it must have been such a surreal experience for them.
I think they found it almost overwhelming in the scope and the complexity and the excitement of it. And there were people, Europeans who during the course of the war, like Rose Valland at the Jeu de Paume Museum in Paris, who had kept track of what the Nazis stole from France. There were others who did the same kind of risky work with Polish treasures. And so the officers were able to get a lot of this information to locate what the Germans took, where they hid it, salt mines, castles, farms, monasteries, a variety of places that as the cities of Germany were collapsing, these treasures were moved to. Also, there was an underground bunker in Nuremberg where many treasures were found.
How were these monuments men thought of by the military that they were embedded with, the team that they were a part of? Was there a real cooperation there, Michael Kurtz, or was there some butting of heads about priorities?
Well, there's always, you know, in a conflict zone, a lot of stress for resources, supplies, and so forth. And so the main mission of the military, of course, was to defeat the Nazis. And so the protection of cultural treasures, the locating of looted art was a peripheral assignment. And so these monuments men became very skilled at getting the trucks and the guards and the resources they really need to do their job. The mission had support at the highest levels, General Eisenhower. But, you know, in the stress of conflict, this was not the top priority of the military.
Let me put this to both of you guys to think about. In that movie clip we listened to a minute ago, we heard our hero say, if you destroy an entire generation of people's culture, it's as if they never existed. Let me ask you guys about that idea. I mean, why exactly were the Nazis looting this art so programmatically? And why was it so important for the monuments men to protect that art and to see it returned to where it belonged?
There's a variety of motives that the Nazis had. Part of it was a racist ideology. That said that any work of art that had been created by a German, no matter how far back in history, belonged to Germany. There was the Nazi ideology that Jews and Slavs and others were inferior peoples and needed to be eliminated. And part of doing that was expropriating their art and their cultural heritage. So I think that the idea that you can destroy a generation as if it never existed is really a true one.
You know, you think about the job these guys did, these monuments men, and the Hollywood part of it, recovering from castles and mines, these great works of art, that's all very cinema screen friendly. But, I mean, the real hard work, as I understand it, came afterwards and was much less sexy, and that was the bureaucratic making sure that everything got returned to where it belonged. But that was really what was important about what these guys did, it seems to me. I mean, we could have recovered this art for ourselves and said, how lucky for us, we now have this treasure trove of great cultural history.
Well, the monuments men were just dedicated to the idea that the works of art had to go back to where they came from for the preservation of Europe's culture and really for mankind's sake. And so they worked assiduously with the resources provided by the military to locate millions of items, move them into these central collecting points, as they were called, in the U.S. zone of occupation to get the coal, the security, everything needed to preserve these. They inventoried, cataloged everything. Fortunately, in a sense, the Nazis kept meticulous records, so they were able to tell where much of this material came from. Of course, unfortunately, much of it was heirless Jewish property, and that posed a lot of complexity about what to do with that part of the looted heritage.
Melissa Wertheimer, back to our local Monuments man, Marvin Chauncey Ross. He, like the rest of the Monuments men, came back to civilian life after World War II, and Marvin Chauncey Ross returned to the Walters, is that right?
Yes.
So talk about his career in the years afterwards at the Walters, and then maybe, Michael, you can take it from there and talk about the significant contributions that these Monuments men made nationwide after their service.
Marvin Chauncey Ross was regarded as the foremost Byzantine expert. That was one of his specialties when he was in the MFAA, and that was one of the reasons why he was appointed as the first curator of medieval art at the Walters. His other specialties included Russian enamels, and during his time at the Walters, he published over 100 articles and also a two-volume catalog of the Byzantine and early medieval antiquities at Dumbarton Oaks, the art of Carl Fabergé and his contemporaries, the West of Alfred Jacob Miller, Russian porcelains. And in his papers in the Walters Art Museum archives, we have all of his research notes and correspondence and research photographs related to catalogs that he assembled of the work of William Henry Reinhart and Paul Gavarni, as well as edited letters of Alfred Jacob Miller. So he was quite prolific.
This is a man who went on to do this all after he returned from World War II as Monuments Man.
Yes.
And his story is not unique. I mean, Michael, these were men of distinction. These were serious scholars, and they came back to make significant civilian contributions all over the country.
Absolutely. They had a tremendous impact in their careers after the war. For example, there was James Rorimer, who became the director of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, and really one of the most distinguished directors in the history of that museum. You had a man named S. Lane Faison from Williams College, who influenced an entire generation of students to become art historians and scholars in the field. So these men throughout the United States became museum directors, curators, senior experts, prolific authors, and what they learned during the war, they really carried forward after the conflict.
They also maintained connections with each other. One of the beautiful things about the papers of Marvin Chauncey Ross is the correspondence that I've uncovered. Ross kept in touch with Robert Posey, Lincoln Kirstein, George Stout, Jeffrey Webb, James Rorimer. The list goes on. And it shows, I think, that they had a special bond that goes beyond mere scholarship.
Walters Archives Assistant Melissa Wertheimer and Michael Kurtz, author of America and the Return of Nazi Contraband, The Recovery of Europe's Cultural Treasures. I want to thank both of you for the conversation. It's been great.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And listeners, I want to let you know that you can join both Melissa and Michael for a discussion about the Monuments Men of World War II, including Baltimore's own hero of the era, Marvin Chauncey Ross. They're going to be speaking this Sunday afternoon, February 9th at 2 p.m. in the Graham Auditorium at the Walters Art Museum, and the event is free to the public. More details are online at thewalters.org. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Hinkin.